4, verse 14. And I know what some of you are probably saying is, well, he's preached on this passage multiple times over the last 10 years. And you would be correct. And I will probably continue to preach from Esther at least once a year, but that ain't bad. 51 other weeks, you don't have to hear a story of Esther. But it is such a good story, in my opinion, one of the best stories in all of the Bible. And if you have never read the book of Esther, then I would encourage you to read the story. We will read this one verse, and I'll tell you some of the story today, and Lord willing, we will finish the story next week. But Esther is an interesting book, and that it is one of only two books in the Bible that does not mention the word God. God is not mentioned anywhere in the book of Esther or in the book of Song of Songs. And that seems kind of like an odd thing that some of God's word would fail to mention God. And even though God is not mentioned specifically, it is clear that God is in the story. It is clear that God has worked in the story. It is clear that the characters in the story are people who seek God and seek God's deliverance. And so we'll read Esther chapter 4, verse 14. Then we will pray and we'll get started. If you keep silent at this time, liberation and deliverance will come from the Jewish people from another place. But you and your father's house will be destroyed. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your good word. I pray that you'd bless this word today. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would free us from the worries and the pains and the distractions of this world. Dear Lord, I pray that you would help us to know that you help us to be where we are in life. God, sometimes it's not where we want to be. But dear Lord, you put us where we need to be, dear Lord, for our good and maybe for the good of others. So God, I pray that for us today, that there may be a time and a place that we are right now in our life that you want to use us. And I pray that you would help us not to miss that opportunity. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The story of Esther really begins when the people of Judah are overtaken by the Babylonians. God had been very patient with his people for a long time, and part of his people that were known as Israel, they were overtaken some years before, and then the people of Judah, they did pretty good, and they had a couple of good kings that helped them to kind of keep focus on God, but not really. And ultimately, due to their sinfulness and disobedience, God was going to get their attention, and he handed them over to the Babylonians. And the Babylonians come in and overtook the people and kind of scattered them all throughout the surrounding lands. And so God's people, the Jewish people, were in all different places, and some of them ended up in the land of the Medes and the Persians. The Medes and the Persians had a large portion of land that they had overtaken by this time. Many of the places that you read about in Scripture, all around that area and all to the east of what you read about in Scripture, that was pretty much under the commands of the Medes and the Persians. And the king at the time was King Xerxes. Now, some of your translations, when you read the book of Esther, will say Ahasuerus. Same person, went by multiple names, but I'll call him Xerxes today. That's what some of your translations will say. And King Xerxes was the king of the day, and some of the Jewish people were living there in the kingdom of King Xerxes. And there really wasn't a problem. There was no real issue with the Jews to speak of. They just kind of lived their normal life. No real issues. And the king of Persia, King Xerxes, it tells us in the beginning of the book of Esther that he had this big get-together for everybody to come and a big feast. And for 6 months, it says that King Xerxes showed off his great wealth. Everybody was there. All the officials of the kingdom had come. It was a big kingdom. It covered a large portion of land. But the capital of the city was in Susa. That's where the king was. And all of these people came to see the great wealth of the king that he desired to show off. And at the end of this 6 months, he held a massive party. I'm talking about it was the best of the best. Everything was exquisite. All the decorations were exquisite. The wine was the best of the best. The food was the best of the best. And he was showing off his wealth and his power, and everybody in the kingdom could see this. Well, being a big party, the king wanted to show off the queen. Of course, the king has the most beautiful woman in the kingdom. And at that time, the queen was a lady by the name of Vashti. And Vashti was a very beautiful woman. And the king, wanting to show off all the beauty of his wealth and of his queen, summoned for the queen to come to the party. Well, the queen refused. Queen Vashti said, "I am not coming to this party." And this infuriated the king, and he decided that something must be done. And so he got together with his closest advisors and officials and said, "What do we need to do?" And they suggested, "King, you better put her in her place. Because if you do not, then the other women of the kingdom are going to see how she's acting. And these wives of the other royal officials are going to stop listening to what they say to do. And so, King, you better stop this woman and make an example out of her." And so, he agreed with that. They said, "What we need to do is we need to find a woman in the kingdom to take her place." So after the party had passed and things had settled down, it had kind of slipped the king's mind, because as we turn to Esther chapter 2, it says the king remembered all of these things. And the suggestion was brought before him that you need to find the most beautiful woman in the kingdom to take Queen Vashti's place. And so word was sent out into all of the kingdom, the whole empire, that the king was looking for a new queen. Now this would have been exciting news. All the young women were prepared to go and stand before the king so that they could be the one chosen as queen next. And so there was a young girl in the community, a young Jewish girl by the name of Esther. Now Esther had been raised by her cousin Mordecai. Her parents had died at some point at a young age, and Mordecai had raised her, and Mordecai said, "Esther, here's what you need to do. You need to go before the king, and you need to be part of all these other beautiful women in the kingdom." And so Esther did as Mordecai had instructed her, and went to join this group of women, the most beautiful women in all of the kingdom. But Esther was more beautiful than all of the women. And when Esther went before the king's official that was over this whole thing to see who was going to be the right woman for the job, she found favor with him because she was extremely beautiful, the scripture says. And so Esther began to receive special treatment. Now this was not just a simple, "All right, let's go meet the king." Oh no, this was a big process. Before any of these women could meet the king, they had to be ready and presentable for the king to see them. And so they were took care of, and they were pampered, and their skin was pampered, and they wore the finest of clothes and were given the finest of makeup and the best diet to eat so that they would be as healthy and as beautiful as they could be. And the scripture says this process took 1 year. So for 1 year, these women received the best of the best of the best. These were the greatest women in all of the kingdom, and of all of these women, Esther was the most beautiful. And so the time came that the queen was going to be brought before the king, or the queen-to-be. And all of the women came, and of all of the women who came, the one that was chosen was Esther. Now, throughout all of this, it was unknown that Esther was actually a Jew. The king didn't know, and nobody else knew. And so a new king, queen, was established in the kingdom. After some time, the scripture kind of shifts gears on us. We're introduced to a new character in the story. The story tells us that the king chooses a man by the name of Haman, one of his officials, and he lifts him up into this great position of power. And he gives him a lot of power, and all of the people in the kingdom are supposed to acknowledge Haman and who he is. And they're all supposed to bow down before Haman. Now, the scripture tells us that Haman was an Agagite. Now, that might not seem like it means much to you, but he was a descendant of the king of Agag, who was the king of the Amalekites. And so really the story of Esther starts a lot further back than when the Babylonians came in and brought the Jewish people into the land. The story actually really begins in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Now, if you read through the Old Testament, you'll see that one of the greatest enemies of the Israelites repeatedly were the Amalekites, led by King Agag. And the first king of Israel was a man by the name of King Saul. And he was a son of Kish. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. And it was King Saul who went in with God's people with the instruction from God to completely destroy the Amalekites, to wipe them out. Saul wasn't a very good king, however. And Saul went in, but he did not completely destroy the Amalekites. Instead, it said he let King Agag live. Now, when the prophet Samuel heard this news, God was furious that King Saul had done this. And ultimately, it was God's people who destroyed and King Agag destroyed King Agag, and that was the end of the story. But the Amalekites were always there in the scripture. And now we flip over to the book of Esther. And here we see an important clue mentioned for us, a little bit of information that Haman was a descendant of Agag. Now, everyone in the kingdom was supposed to bow down before Haman. They were supposed to acknowledge his greatness and his new position of power, but there was somebody in the kingdom that refused to do so. And that person was Mordecai, the cousin of Esther. And this infuriated Haman, that Mordecai would not bow before him, that he refused to acknowledge Haman's new position. And it tells us in the scripture that Mordecai was a descendant of Kish, the father of Saul, also from the tribe of Benjamin. There was bad blood between the descendants of Agag and the descendants of Kish, because after all, that's who killed King Agag back in the day. So when Haman found out about Mordecai and who he was and that he was a Jew, this infuriated Haman. Now, Haman knew that there were other Jews in the land, and Haman said, with my new position of power, I will take care of this problem. And so Haman goes before the king. And he says, Xerxes, we have a problem in our kingdom. We have a problem of a people group, and they are going to cause trouble. They are going to rebel against you. They are going to cause chaos, and you need to take care of them before this situation gets out of control. And he says, King, if you will give me the permission, I will put 375 tons of silver into the treasury if you will just let me carry out this sentence against these people. And the king said, Haman, whatever you need, you got it. Go and do what you need to do. And so the king takes off his signet ring. Now, this was important. The king's signet ring had a symbol on it. And whenever that symbol was stamped onto a document or a piece of wax that was closing the documents, whoever read that document would know that this command and decree came from the king himself. And the king gave his ring to Haman and said, Haman, take my ring. You have my power and authority to do whatever you would like. And so Haman is thrilled with this news. And so a day is decided upon, a day that's a few months down the road, and on this day, all the Jews in the land are to be killed. And word of this is sent throughout the whole kingdom. As the Jews in the kingdom begin to hear this news, they are certainly concerned. What are they going to do? Well, Mordecai hears this news as well. And Esther herself was a Jew. It was unknown to the king and unknown to anyone else, but Mordecai knew that trouble was a brewing. And so Mordecai sends word to Queen Esther. And he says to her, look, you've got to do something, because Haman has sent this command throughout the kingdom that all of the Jewish people are going to be killed on this specific day. You must intervene for the people. You have to speak up. Now, Queen Esther certainly had probably a better opportunity to speak to the king than most, but even then it wasn't easy for her. For you see, you couldn't just go and talk to the king whenever you would like. You could only go and talk to the king whenever you were summoned by the king. And if the king did not summon you to come in and speak with him, if you entered into his presence, you may very well be killed. Now, Queen Esther knew this, and she sent word to Mordecai. She said, look, I haven't seen the king in over a month. I haven't been summoned by the king. I can't go in and talk to the king. My life may be in jeopardy. I will be killed if I go see the king. And Mordecai said, look, you've got to do this because you're the only hope for the Jewish people. And then Mordecai tells her the words that we just read in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. If you keep silent at this time, liberation and deliverance will come to the Jewish people from another place. But you and your father's house will be destroyed. Who knows, perhaps you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Mordecai says, you have been placed here. And even though God isn't mentioned in this story, it is clear that God is at work in this story. That all these events had taken place. As bad as it was when Jerusalem and Judah were overtaken by the Babylonians. As bad as it was that God's people were taken into captivity in a foreign land and had been there for quite some time now. As bad as that was, as bad as it was to be living in a foreign country and to be a Jew in this land where the Jews were soon to be killed. It was not going to be long that this decree would be carried out and the Jewish people would be killed. And all of this was part of God's plan that the most unlikely of people, a little Jewish girl, would end up in the land of the Medes and the Persians and be queen to the king. And this was because God had placed her there. God had placed her there for such a time as this. Now, Mordecai acknowledges, look, we still have trust in God. There will be deliverance. Deliverance will come from someone, but God has placed you here for such a time as this. Now, God has a plan and God has a purpose, and things unfold in this world according to God's plan and to God's purpose. And in carrying out those plans, God chooses to use people like Esther. And God chooses to use people like you and I. And there are things that God may be calling you to today. That He has brought you to where you are. He has placed you where you're at. He has placed you around the people that you are around because God has chosen to use you. God's plans won't be thwarted just because of our disobedience. But wouldn't it be a shame today if God is calling you to serve Him, if God is calling you to be used by Him in some way, and you say, no, God. No, God. And God has to use the next man or woman in line. Wouldn't it be a shame if God wants to use us to further His kingdom today, and we choose not to be used by God? And so maybe today we are not so unlike Queen Esther. In your life, in your story, you have taken lots of twists and turns. You have ended up where you are today not by coincidence. It's no coincidence that Esther ended up in that land at that time. It's no coincidence that Haman and Mordecai are key players in this story to carry out and bring to a conclusion this feud that has been going on from the Old Testament back in the days of the first king. It's no coincidence that God has us where we are right now. We may have taken a crazy journey to get here. We may not be in a place we want to be. I suspect at that point in time that Mordecai didn't want to be there, and Esther didn't want to be there, and the rest of the Jewish people didn't want to be there. And sometimes our journey takes us to a place we do not want to be. But the place that we are may very well be where God wants us to be. And so maybe in your life today, wherever you are, like it or not, as easy as your life may be or as tough as your life may be today, it may very well be that God has brought you to this place for such a time as this, that God desires to use you today. It may be that God has placed you in that dead-end job that you hate, that you're miserable going to, because He wants you to reach somebody at that place. It may be that God has brought you to Enterprise Baptist Church because there's somebody you will meet here. There's some ministry you'll be involved in here. There's some sermon you'll hear here. Maybe this one today that will remind you that God has brought you here for such a time as this to use you for the furtherance of His kingdom. It may be that you are in a bad relationship today, and maybe God has put you in that relationship for such a time as this. Maybe it's for your growth. Maybe it's for the growth of the one that you are with. There are lots of places that we end up in life. Some we want to be, and some we do not want to be. But God puts us where we are. He allows us to go through what we go through to build us up, to help us to grow, to help us to trust Him, to strengthen our faith, and that so we can carry out His work in loving and caring for and helping those around us and helping them to know the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus loves them, that He died on a cross for them, that our sins can be forgiven today through Jesus Christ. And so wherever you are today, I don't know everybody's circumstances. I don't know everybody's situation. I don't know how God may want to work in your life. But I can assure you that God works, and He works sometimes in mysterious ways, in ways that we cannot even comprehend. And what we need to do today is we need to seek God. And we need to say, God, if You have brought me here for such a time as this, God, how do You want to use me? And sometimes the ways in which God wants to use us are scary. It is tough. It was a scary time for Queen Esther. Mordecai says, look, it's up to you, Esther, for such a time as this. This is why you are here, to speak up and to spare your people. And Esther listens to what Mordecai says. And she says, all right, Mordecai, so be it. I'll do what you ask. I'll take my chance. I'll go before the king. Maybe I'll live, maybe I'll die. But I'll do it because I've been placed here for such a time as this. What about you and I this morning? Where are we at in our life? What might God be calling us to do in our life? How might God be wanting to use us today? There may be some things that instantly come to your mind, or maybe not. Maybe you need to pray about it. Maybe there are some things that you know are there and they are so scary. You know that there is something that God has placed on you to do, that there is someone that He's called you to go and talk to, that there is something that He has already burdened you with, and you've been battling with it, and you don't want to do it because it's scary and you're afraid and you don't know what the response will be. But maybe today the Lord is telling you, it is time, and I've called you and I've placed you here for such a time as this. If God is speaking to us today, let us be those who are found faithful. If we choose to be disobedient, God's plans will continue on. God will find another who will be obedient. But wouldn't it be a shame if God had to use somebody else because we said no this morning? Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this good story. I pray, dear Lord, that You would help us wherever we are, God. Maybe we have ended up in a place that we don't want to be. We've ended up in a place where it is scary. We've ended up in a place where what is before us is scary. We've ended up in a place where we don't know what the future holds. But dear Lord, maybe we have ended up in the place that we are at because You want to use this experience in some way to further Your kingdom. God, maybe You brought us to where we are today because You want us just to seek You. Maybe You want us to call out to You today, dear Lord. Maybe You're trying to get our attention. Maybe You're trying to strengthen our faith, God. Maybe You brought us to where we are today, as hard as it may be, because there's something You want us to do. There's some way You want to use us, dear Lord. And maybe there are some that's been on their journey for a long time, and it's getting difficult and harder by the day, and they don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. But God, I pray that they would not lose hope today. That God, You are at work. Dear Lord, sometimes your plans take a little longer to unfold than we would like. But dear Lord, ultimately, they get us right to where we need to be. And maybe today, God, we are right where you need us to be. Maybe you have placed us in this moment in our life, just as you place Esther in this moment in her life. That God, you have something for us to do. Someone you want us to minister to. Some way that you want us to serve. Some way that you want us to speak up. God, I pray that you would help us to see clearly in the ways that you want to use us. And I pray, God, that we would be prepared today. That maybe you have brought each of us here for such a time as this. A time that we could be used by you for the work of your kingdom. God, I pray that if there are any that do not know Jesus Christ this morning, maybe they know about church, and maybe they know about religion, and maybe they even know a little bit of your word, but maybe they don't know who Jesus is. They've never trusted him. They've never asked for forgiveness. They've never put their faith in Jesus Christ. They've never repented, dear Lord. I pray that today, that maybe you have brought them here for such a time as this. That today is the day of salvation for them, dear Lord, that even now that they would repent of their sins, that they would turn from their ways of the world and turn from living for themselves and turn to Jesus Christ to live for him. So I pray, God, that if there are any that do not know Jesus Christ today, that they would. God, just as you are not mentioned in the book of Esther and it may seem like you're not there, dear Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize that you are. Even in our lives, God, it may seem like you're not part of the story, but God, you are working everything behind the scenes to work together to accomplish your will, dear Lord. So I pray, God, that we would not lose hope today, that we would know that you are working. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.